One of our favorites here at WAMC is Tim Bersalotti, director of the Western New England University Poll and professor of political science. Tim, it's just great to talk to you. As always, you always tell us what's going on. First of all, I heard a rumor. I want to get right to it, that you have figured out what none of us have been able to figure out, especially in my house, and that is how to avoid robocalls.
Landline numbers, you can sign up for a service through your, it's often through your service provider, particularly if your phone, your landline service comes through your cable company. It's called Nomo Robo, and you enter your number. It's all done online, and the service will screen numbers that it thinks are from automated dialers, and it really does cut down on the recorded telemarketing, although I have to admit, I worry that it cuts down on the survey calls that we get, which I always do as a pollster. It would seem hypocritical of me to try and screen out those and then expect people to answer ours.
Actually, that gets us into your expertise in polling. I have to say, I don't do them, and maybe I'm a little bit naive about that. But when people call, I don't know whether I'm being manipulated or not, because there are so many phony polls that you don't really know who you're talking to. And some of these are what we call push polls. They get you to go out and vote for somebody you may not want to vote for. So maybe you could explain that.
Sure. I encourage people to ask some questions when a survey research center calls. In particular, ask, well, where are you calling from and who is sponsoring the survey? And if you get ready answers to those questions, it's probably a legitimate operation. If people are vague or evasive, I'd be very skeptical and I wouldn't do it, because there are a lot of things out there where they're using polling as a guise for fundraising or telemarketing, and you do have to be careful.
Right. Well, in an age of cynicism, of which I am a great practitioner, that's what happens with me. I just, you know, I don't like it. And there are so many of them that, you know, there's often a problem with me. So if I'm that way, I guess a lot of other people are that way too, right?
Sure. Response rates for telephone surveys have dropped well into the single digits, and it gets more and more difficult to complete the work. And so you see survey researchers trying a lot of innovations in terms of trying to mix telephone surveys with recruiting for online surveys, reaching out to people through address-based sampling, and either giving them a paper survey or a link that they could follow. And you often have to provide an incentive, a small monetary incentive, to get people to do that.
How do you do that? They say to you, if you answer my questions, I'll send you a dollar?
Yeah, it depends, and it depends on your budget. Some people send the money proactively, say, here's $5, on the assumption that it will create a sense of obligation. People are generally decent at their core and think, wow, somebody sent me $5.
I've seen it with a dime. Somebody sent you a
dime.
Yeah,
sure. Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, so that's very interesting. So now we are treated to seeing that Andrew Cuomo's numbers have, quote, dropped like a rock from a pollster. But you're telling us into the single digits. How can we trust anything like that?
It's a legitimate question. And one thing that we've done, we in the survey world, is take a look at who is answering, and then to the extent that we can, who is not answering. And just to see, is this matching the population? Does it look like the world that we're trying to study? And to that extent, what we found, and the Pew Research Center has done a lot of the groundbreaking research in that area, at least in the area of political polls, what they have found is that the folks who are answering, once you make some mathematical adjustments, in particular for age, because young people are very difficult to get on the phone, and to some extent income and race ethnicity, once you make some mathematical adjustments, you can still get a pretty representative sample. But again, it gets harder and harder. You have to make more and more calls. This whole process gets more and more expensive.
Okay, Mr. Pollster, political scientist, the question of the day is, as we speak, Bernie Sanders has just announced that he is running for president. Based on your analysis, based on what you're seeing in your polls, has he got a shot?
He does have a shot. If you look at polling of the prospective field, so folks who have declared and folks who might get in, Sanders is often one or two in these national surveys among Democratic voters or lean Democratic voters. It's him and Joe Biden. And typically in the last few polls, Kamala Harris and Elizabeth Warren sort of fill in the top four there. It's a very different landscape than it was 4 years ago, though. He was the alternative to Hillary Clinton. Now it's a much more crowded field with a lot of candidates espousing the same policies that he had espoused in 2016, Medicare for all, free college tuition. And so he's got a lot more competition this time around.
Who does he steal from?
Or who steals from him? Kamala Harris has gotten some endorsements from folks who had backed Sanders. Now, not major people, people who might be significant players in their respective states. But she seems to be bleeding into his territory here. And if Beto O'Rourke gets in, we'll see him perhaps siphon some folks who ordinarily would have supported Bernie Sanders as well.
How does the words Democratic Socialist play for Bernie Sanders?
I think in terms of younger voters, they may not be as fazed by it as older voters who attach traits and characteristics to socialism going back to the 50s and 60s. And so you may see a generational divide here in terms of framing. There are other candidates out there pushing back and saying, I don't embrace that label, because they do worry, particularly in a primary, that it's going to hurt them.
Can polling tell what people think about character? I mean, you know, Bernie Sanders is a guy who's been called an egomaniac by some people. Some people think of him as a savior. How much can you guys do to ascertain what people are really feeling about the character of the person?
The most common survey question that we ask about president or any political candidate is, how much do they care about the problems of people like you or the concerns of people like you? So it's more a measure of empathy and identity than it is character. Now, whoever gets through the primary process, you will see more comparisons of traits on things like trustworthiness, honesty, capability to handle the job of the presidency. But those will be asked more in contrast to President Trump. It would be unusual, especially in such a crowded primary field, to see that kind of granular survey research.
When we come back the next time with Tim Versalotti, master pollster, director of the Western New England University Poll, professor of political science, and one of the brightest guys I know, Tim Versalotti, when we come back the next time, we've talked a little about Bernie this time, so next time, let's talk about who else? Trump.
Look forward to it.